Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Once again, we're coming to you live in the living color here on the radio dial, which happens to be 101.5 Kick Country, WVFB FM 101.5, as we said. And we come to you each Thursday morning here at 9 o'clock. And a whole lot of this is made possible through the efforts of the Clay County Chamber and the three-star committee, and of course all of the great folks that advertise here on this show. And if you'd like to be one of our primary sponsors, give a call, and you can use the same number, I guess, that we use for the birthday. No, you can't use that. That's an answering machine. Sorry about that. But along that line, we'll be announcing our birthday and anniversary folks here in a little bit, and then giving away one of those delicious ice cream cakes from up at the Dairy Queen. We've got a whole bunch of things to talk about today. We've got quite a few things going on in and around us. And got two coaches here with me this morning that are going to talk a little bit about some success they've had over the basketball season down at the junior high. I guess it's still called junior high, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
What's the official? Is it still Salina K-8
mm-hmm.
school?
Salina K-8.
But we've got it divided into middle and lower. These two guys are the coaches down there this year. One of them's a newcomer, and he's also a new teacher. I may let him talk a little bit about his experience as coming in as a new teacher this year. So we've got quite a few things talking about. And then the last part of the show, Mr. Johnny McLaren is going to come up, and we're going to talk about Old Town Salina a little bit and just a whole lot of old things this morning maybe with him. Usually when we get him started, he can talk a pretty good while. He's not hardly as talkative as Murray Lloyd. His Aunt Murray Lloyd, but he does pretty good. But we'll be doing that in a little bit. And let's see. I could go ahead and do, I've got some public service announcement things here, I guess that you could call them that. Miss Amy Dotson sent me a notice saying, make sure that we announce about the father-daughter date night over at the high school taking place on March the 7th. And tickets for this are available over at the high school and at the banks until February the 24th. So, dads, you better get out and get ticketed and bring your daughter to the dance and one see you all dancing and a carrying on over there. And let's see, and like I said, we've got the junior high coaches, but along the line of the high school, I know the boys basketball team made it through and we're regular season champions, which gives them the number one seed in the district tournament coming up. And I believe the girls went third place. So the girls are going to have to play that one extra round. The way they've got their tournament set up this year, the number one and two seeds are going to automatically make it into the regional tournament, and very, very important regular season this year, which sometimes is not hardly that important, but this year was extremely important. And another announcement I know that everyone will really like, all the games this year will be played at Livingston Academy Gym. And I believe they've done away with those so-called satellite games, I believe, where they played at the home school the first game. I think that's what Coach Edwards said, that all the games would be there at Livingston. If there's a correction on that, we'll let you know. And that'll be starting here in about a week or so. And let's see, if you haven't seen the Home and Garden video that we did here for the Home and Garden Hometown Makeover thing, I think that thing is on Facebook and a whole bunch of people have posted it. And when you take a look at it, you're going to be really surprised at the professionalism that is shown in this thing. And, of course, we'd like to thank Mr. Michael Goad for his address work on that, and also for Trevor Daniel, who put that together. And let's see, we've got the Clay County Sesquicentennial is coming up, and we need all the help we can get on that. We've got all kinds of subcommittees, and folks, you really need to get interested in this, and I know we're looking up all the different things in the history of the county, trying to find all of the documents, pictures, and I know we're looking at various things to celebrate, and I know one of the things I saw the other day that they're going to be working on, and that is Clay County at War, coming up with some exhibits of the folks that have served in the armed forces and through the years, and come up with a great exhibition on that. And let's see, we still got some of the celebration knives over at the chamber. They're still $75, and so if you want one of those, you need to run over by there and pick those up. And also, we're working on a website that we'll have up here before long to go along with our Facebook page. So, and there's lots of things on the Facebook page. Lots of folks are already posting historical newspaper articles, pictures, and things like that that they're sending to the committee on that. So take a look at the Facebook page and kind of keep up with the things going on there. I've got one showing here now that Johnny McLaren found, and it is the high school newspaper from Solana High School in September 13th, 1937. So we're finding all kinds of things like that. Because I know someone asked one day, what the original name was for the school paper was. And so this may be the first one. This is about the time that the name changed from Clay County High School to Solana High School. And we'll be talking about some of those things a little bit later. But right now, before I run out of breath, I think I've got enough left to say we'll be back in a minute.
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
You may not realize how important three letters can be. For a patient who needs type A, B, or O blood, these letters can mean life. But there simply aren't enough people giving blood. Without more donors, hospitals may not have the blood needed to save lives. That's why the American Red Cross needs people to help restore the A's, B's, and O's that are depleting each day. You are the missing type patients need. Visit redcrossblood.org/missing types or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make your donation appointment today.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
The opioid epidemic is affecting countless lives, including young adults. Did you know approximately 45% of opioid prescriptions to adolescents are made by dentists, often after wisdom teeth removal? These drugs carry risks, but you can help reduce your risk or the risk for a loved one. If prescribed an opioid, ask your dentist to consider limiting prescriptions to 3 days, using over-the-counter pain relievers, and properly disposing of unused medications. For more information, go to shatterproof.org. This has been a message from Shatterproof, United Healthcare, and this station.
Welcome back, everyone. As I said earlier, I've got a couple of folks here with me. I have Mr. Joe Adams, and we'll save the elderly one, the last one that's been here the longest. Joe's new at this year, and Sharon Kimes. And Joe, we'll let you introduce yourself just right off the bat. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, like you said, Joe Adams, first year coaching and teaching here in Salina. Really excited to be able to coach and teach here in my home community. Graduated Tech last year and just got a job this year, so happy to be here.
Okay, now let's talk a little bit about a beginning teacher's job. What was that like for you to walk in that classroom and all at once? You know, it's been a few years ago since I did that. So what did that feel like that first time?
It was pretty nerve-wracking. They do a good job with student teaching now, getting you ready for that, I think. But it was definitely, when you're the authority in the room, it was pretty nerve-wracking for the first little go there.
Well, I remember I had one of my teachers when I was in school, Mr. Marshall Donaldson. I'd say you probably couldn't use the same procedure he used. I think they sent him out to one of the elementary schools out in the county. And during that time, there would usually be there maybe a couple of great big old boys out there that was older and bigger than the teacher. And I believe Mr. Donaldson said he thought the only way he could survive would be to tackle that biggest feller the first day and get his attention. And take care of that. And he said, you know, after that, I didn't have much trouble with anybody. Well, that probably wouldn't work today, though.
I'd probably have a short career.
But, Joe, it's great to have you. Anytime we can get young people back in the county, and especially when you get them in the classroom and to get them to coach, because, you know, the coaching thing, it's getting scarce to find good young people that want to get into it, especially at the junior high level, because it doesn't pay a whole lot, but it is fun, because that's the time that when you've got those students out there, if you tell them to run into the wall, they'll try to do it for you.
Absolutely.
And I mean, that's something, you know, they give you that unfettered, you know, clean little heart attitude towards you, that whatever Coach Joe says, I'm going to try and do. And that's a great feeling, and I know it makes the job a whole lot easier when you begin. Now, who else we got here with us this morning?
Sharon Kimes. I'm a PE teacher at Salina K-8, and I came back and coached this year. I had the 5th and 6th and the 7th and 8th, so double duty.
Okay, Joey, and what are you teaching?
I'm teaching 5th and 6th grade, and I'm coaching 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th boys.
So you're teaching a little bit of everything in the 5th and 6th grade?
Little bit of it all.
Okay. And Ms. Kimes, I know you have, Mrs. Kimes, you've been here in the county for a pretty good while, haven't you?
Well, this is my 33rd year. I taught 1 year in Macon County, and then Hermit Springs is 4 years, so I've been over to K-8 all the other years.
And you are, of course, your mom and dad originally Clay Countyans, but I believe you went to Smith County High School?
I went to Smith County, and they moved down there when I was a year old, and then I graduated in 1980 and then went on to Tech, and I always wanted to be a ball coach, so here I am.
And still doing it.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. I know we hear this thing about how the athletes have changed and all this kind of thing. Going through all those years, have you changed?
Well, I tell the kids that I said I'm old school, and they don't know what that means. But yeah, you have to change with the times. You have to.
So you've had to mellow out a little bit.
Well, they say I've mellowed out. All my other players, my former players, said, you're not even half as tough as you used to be, so I guess I have mellowed out.
Well, now, along that same line, now, we know we have proof that you've mellowed out. You didn't get evicted many games this year.
No.
And didn't get any technicals this year.
It's a miracle. No technicals, and everything ran smoothly. I didn't have an assistant, so that was a little bit of a problem, but then Winter Pruitt came and helped me a little bit, so I appreciated that.
Well, now we got through the introduction, I guess time for a little break. We'll come back and we'll talk about some the seasons this year. We'll be back just in a minute.
Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us.
That's why Macon Bank and Trust Secure Lock makes great sense. This easy-to-use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed. And you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Macon Bank and Trust. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender. Come grow with us.
You may not realize how important three letters can be. For a patient who needs type A, B, or O blood, these letters can mean life. But there simply aren't enough people giving blood. Without more donors, hospitals may not have the blood needed to save lives. That's why the American Red Cross needs people to help restore the A's, B's, and O's that are depleting each day. You are the missing type patients need. Visit redcrossblood.org/missing types or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make your donation appointment today.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
The opioid epidemic is affecting countless lives, including young adults. Did you know approximately 45% of opioid prescriptions to adolescents are made by dentists, often after wisdom teeth removal? These drugs carry risks, but you can help reduce your risk or the risk for a loved one. If prescribed an opioid, ask your dentist to consider limiting prescriptions to 3 days, using over-the-counter pain relievers, and properly disposing of unused medications. For more information, go to shatterproof.org. This has been a message from Shatterproof, United Healthcare, and this station.
Welcome back, everyone. We are now back here at our little cozy corner room here at the courthouse. Got the fireplace going. Is the wind still blowing out there?
Mm-hmm.
It makes a pretty rough morning. Well, I tell you what, let's do a little rundown on the season. We'll begin with the ladies first this morning. Ms. Kimes, tell us a little bit about the season this year and then how it finished up.
Okay, my junior high.
And you can mention all the names you want to.
Okay. My junior high girls, we finished 9-8 and made it to the Final Four down at the James C. Hale State Tournament. I was really proud of them. They fought and ended up getting beat 5 or 6, I think, but we got down about 17 and fought back, you know. I had 3 8th graders this year, so we were pretty young. Had to bring some 6th graders up to play, which helped us. I think we ended up with like 10 girls at the end of the season. Then my 5th and 6th, they were 10 on that team, and they finished runner-up at the James C. Hill, and their overall record this year was 13-2, and our 2 losses were to Pickett County. So I was very proud of both teams.
Okay. Like I said, some of the young ladies that were on your team, right? Can you name all off your head? She's got her list with her. She's prepared for me.
I got my list.
Okay.
And a lot of these girls' parents played for me, so we going round two, I guess. Madison Hayes, 8th grader, Kendall Matthews and Emma Walker were 8th graders. Lacey Wicks, Kendall Hamilton, Landry May, and Jada Banks were 7th graders. And then I brought up Baylor Walden, Ella Eads, and Natalie Smith. They were sixth graders, so that was my junior high team. And then my sixth graders, Baylor Walden, Natalie Smith, Nadia Page, Emma Wicks, Ella Eads, Martina Riddle, and they were sixth graders. And then I had four fifth graders, Jenna Thompson, Halen Garrison, Avery Davis, and Darcy Smith. So next year we're starting out with four till we can bring some more up to get ready for fifth and sixth.
You might pick up one or two. Have you been out checking any of them playing half court and seen somebody you may have to recruit?
Well, you know, being the PE teacher, I do get to see them, and I've got my eye on a couple of girls that I think could play. I mean, you know, if they get in there and work hard. So that's
okay. Now, some of the games this year, maybe a game or two that really stands out in your mind as being outstanding. That it all came together one night, kind of surprised you.
Okay, I guess my junior high, we were playing Rickman, and I don't think Rickman had but one loss, and they came to our place, and all of a sudden, at the fourth quarter, there was 3 minutes and something to go, and it was a tight game, like a 2-point game or tied or something. The ceiling started leaking. It was raining. So we had to move that game over to the high school, and I thought, oh, no, we got to be on this big court. But it all worked out, and we ended up beating them by 1 point. So I thought that game was probably the exciting one, I guess.
So you just loaded them on the bus?
Well, no, we all just jumped in cars.
Oh, okay, everybody jumped in cars and ran over to the high
school. And everybody ran over to the high school. So I never had that happen, so that was an experience. But fifth and sixth, the game that I talk about, because it was the worst game we played, we only scored 13 points, I think, against Allen's, and I was really upset with them because that was a horrible game. And so I bring that up a lot to them, but that sort of turned us around, I guess, and we started playing a little bit better, and we'd score mainly in the 30s. So
I guess it kind of got on their nerves, didn't it, to think, you know, hey, we better than that, ain't we?
Oh, yeah, but nobody could do anything that night, so that was a rough game. But I was really proud of the fifth and sixth, and I've never been undefeated ever coaching, but two losses is, you know, that's something to be proud of. Yeah,
that's pretty good. Well, you still do improvement.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But you know, you're talking about the water leak. That reminds me of the old days out at the high school gym. One year we had a little thing where we had a little water leak, and we played a game out there one night. I know we had to put rosin all over the wet spot on the floor where we could keep playing. So, you know, that used to be something we ran into quite often in the old gymnasiums here.
Well, they took a vote. They said, we're going to vote if everybody wants to play. And they really wanted to play, Rickman did. And I said, well, they're really wanting to beat us, I think. So we'll go over there and give it a shot.
What did the kids think about that big gym? Did they have anything to say about it, or did they?
I think they were scared, but we come out and scored the first 5 points, I believe, and got the lead. And but they had the last shot and missed a layup. I don't know how in the world they missed that. But
well, you know, on the big floor that way, a lot of times, you know, you're the young, especially the young players, their bodies are conditioned to that, whatever that is, down there, 80 foot down there. And I've got a feeling, you just talking about missing a layup, more than likely that young lady's body told her that she'd done gone too far.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that she was looking up and they'd shoot that layup out there at about 80 foot, mm-hmm. and realize, hey, I've got about 10 more foot to go before I can throw it up there. So that probably was an advantage that you had.
Well, whatever. We'll take whatever we get, I guess.
Okay, Joe. Tell us a little bit about the boys.
Well, both teams had a really good year, and in my opinion, I was very proud of both of them. I can start with the fifth and sixth graders. They lost three games this season, two regular season, and then we lost in the semifinals down there at the James C. Hale. And that team has a lot of talent and a lot of young kids that just are learning the game. I think that was the thing we learned with them in practice, was just learning the little ins and outs of the game, seeing the things that they did know and didn't know. It's been a while since I got to play ball, even in high school. So at that level, you know, you kind of had to remember what they might know and what they might not. You kind of forget those things. So that was an experience for me, teaching them that. A little bit different than my junior high. They were a little bit more in the condition that you just give them some instruction and they'll take off, which you would expect by the time you get there. But both teams, I was very proud of this year. The summer ball with my junior high guys, I thought that we had a struggle over the summer. We played a lot of 4A teams. You know, we played the All Goods and the Prescotts and the Rick, or the, you know, the Cookville, Avery Trace. And they came into the regular season. I know you asked Ms. Kimes there a game that stood out. I think for us, the first regular season game against Piatt County, I saw the grit that my boys had when we came out of a summer. You know, we took turns being the punching bag for a few of the 4A schools, and they had a short memory, and they came out with confidence and played well all season. It carried them all the way through the season.
You know, that I know for a number of years that the junior high of year has started with that Pickett County game, and that really is a big disadvantage playing that one, because we know, I think they practice 370 days a year up there, and they don't have the football and a lot of other things going on. And usually, I know Miss Kimes can remember through the years, when we would take our teams up there, they'd give us a good trouncing, because, I mean, they were in mid-season form, and a lot of times they'd already played six or eight ball games by the time we got to them.
Right.
And, you know, that... And I know, like she said, our junior high teams, it took some pretty good trouncings up. But, you know, that's one thing about it. They always bounced back after that one. And then if we play them at the end of the season, we would usually, you know, either give them a good close or beat them at the end of the season. So, you know, that it in some ways, it's a good way to start. But, you know, Joe, with the basketball, I know you said, you know, just beginning. And I know, Joe, over the years, you've played a lot of pickup basketball, lot of, and you know, one of the things that I think maybe that I found out was that the things that you learn playing pickup basketball, and I really don't think that our young players anymore, they really don't play a lot of serious pickup basketball like even your age group did, because I know some of the players that we talk to now, that they talk about, you know, the Sunday nights and the Wednesday nights out at the old gym here, where they, our high school kids, were able to come out and play against some of the best basketball players that Salina High School ever had. And
absolutely.
I think that's something that our kids are missing now. But Joe, I know you're looking forward to next year also.
I am. I'm excited. This year's team, they were a special group of kids, both sets, the 5th and 6th graders and the 7th and 8th, to me. Our 7th and 8th graders especially lost 11, I think. They told me 11 8th graders to 8th grade graduation last year. So the team was, I think we had 9 came out for the summer. So as Ms. Kimes said, I brought up a couple 5th and 6th graders to join them. And those kids fought all season long. You mentioned kids playing. I know several kids on that team that when they would leave the gym, they would spend hours at home shooting ball on their court, going home and working on footwork. They would run, do body weight workouts. Like they were hard. I think their season reflected that for them.
You know, and a whole lot of the kids we've got right now are this second generation. Some of our better athletes, our football team and our basketball teams, are the next generation of some of those guys that were dedicated themselves. And they have not tried to teach their kids dedication. I think they have shown them what dedication does.
I agree.
And I think that's going to make a difference here for the next number of years, I think, because, you know, those last names were familiar, all to the folks around here that are familiar with Clay County High School basketball. And now, before we finish up, Hermitage Springs, I know their coach, I think maybe his wife had their child, and he's maybe on leave, and he wanted to be with us, but he couldn't. Ms. Kimes, you want to talk a little bit about it, maybe a couple of girls down there that may be coming over next year?
Yes, they had a really good team this year. They beat my junior high girls both times this year. They've got Bella Ashlock and Hallie. I can't think of
Hallie Buford.
Hallie Buford. Those two, and they should be able to come in and you know, maybe play some for him next year, I hope. One of them's a left-handed. Hallie's a left-handed shooter, real good shooter. And Bella, she can shoot or drive. So they should be ready for high school.
Well, you know, I know with Hallie, you look back at Grandma's there. I know Miss Phyllis.
Oh,
is,
yeah.
I believe she may be a Hall of Famer.
That's right.
And then looking back also, Linda Brady on the other side. I think she's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
She should be. That played on one of Coach John Temple's better teams. And, of course, Miss Phyllis played on one of the best teams down Hermitage Springs. And
she hits it from both sides, doesn't she?
Yes, she does. And I know with the Ashlock girl, her dad, and of course her brother, and her sister are playing now, and both of those are outstanding
mm-hmm.
athletes. Of course, Jake, football and basketball, and
mm-hmm.
of course her sister on the basketball team. So that's really something to look forward to here in the next little bit again. And of course, you know, with you guys playing your younger kids this year, that well, now are you going to come back again next year?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm a grandma now, so I have to help with the grandkids some. So I'm not for sure about that. We'll see.
Well, guys, I thank you very much for being here with us this morning, and I hope you've enjoyed being here with us and letting the folks know about the success of our teams this year, and looking forward to getting you back again about this same time next year when you have those gold basketball with you instead of the silver ones. But with that, thank you for being with us this morning.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr.
And,
Thomas.
All right. And before we do that, I'm going to read my birthdays and anniversaries, and you guys can go ahead and ease
okay.
out if you want to.
All right. Thank you.
With our birthdays for today, we have Anita Cherry, who celebrated a birthday on the 7th. And then I guess yesterday, a young lady celebrating her first birthday. That was Mila Strong. And she is the daughter of Daniel and Tiffany Strong and the granddaughter of Linda and Jerry Strong. And then also celebrating birthdays, Pat Smith. And also Pat's mother celebrated a birthday on the 12th this past week. And looking on down our list, Mr. James Stevens celebrated a birthday. Johnny Brown celebrated a birthday. And then Lauren Carlisle, her granny Wealthy, would like to wish her a happy birthday. And then at the Salina Rehab Center, Ms. Elise McLaren celebrated a birthday, and Mr. John Wilmoth out in the Moss area. All these folks celebrated a birthday this past week. And if you want your name on that list, call 243-5574. And we'll be back just in a minute with Mr. Johnny McLaren. We're going to have a little conversation. We don't know exactly what we're going to talk about, but we may wander around, or we may just get off on one particular thing for a little while. But we'll be back just in a minute.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
You may not realize how important three letters can be. For a patient who needs type A, B, or O blood, these letters can mean life. But there simply aren't enough people giving blood. Without more donors, hospitals may not have the blood needed to save lives. That's why the American Red Cross needs people to help restore the A's, B's, and O's that are depleting each day. You are the missing type patients need. Visit redcrossblood.org/missing types or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make your donation appointment today.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is. A date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
The opioid epidemic is affecting countless lives, including young adults. Did you know approximately 45% of opioid prescriptions to adolescents are made by dentists, often after wisdom teeth removal? These drugs carry risks, but you can help reduce your risk or the risk for a loved one. If prescribed an opioid, ask your dentist to consider limiting prescriptions to 3 days, using over-the-counter pain relievers, and properly disposing of unused medications. For more information, go to shatterproof.org. This has been a message from Shatterproof, United Healthcare, and this station.
Welcome back, everyone. I'd like to thank our two junior high coaches for coming by, and we've got rid of them and got Mr. Johnny McLaren sitting here with us. I said he does talk some, but he doesn't talk as much as his aunt does. But I know Johnny has the store across the street here where he's got all kinds of stuff from all different kinds of people, his stuff and other folks' stuff. That's very interesting to go through and look at. And I know Johnny is also very, very interested, as a lot of us are, especially with this sesquicentennial thing, about Old Town Salina. I know he's been working on some things. I'll let him talk a little bit about that, some of the things he's found, and some of the things he's working on with that. And then I know that there's some other very interesting things that we can talk about with him. Johnny, the Old Town project that you've got on your own here that you're kind of working on.
Well, we're looking right now. We're looking for pictures and trying to find whatever was in Old Town, the old buildings. We do know where the hotels were, because Salina was a big river town, and wood rafting the timber to Nashville. A lot of people used Salina, and they had some hotels. We know they had three. I know where the Riverside sat. I know where the Red Letter Hotel sat. But right now I'm looking for where, and I've seen a picture of it, of the Hotel Salina, but I don't know where it sat at.
Okay, and I know, I can remember the one that my dad's cousin, Miss Winnie Brown, lived in. Which one was that?
That would be probably the what they call the Riverside.
Okay. All right. Now, Johnny, I saw something the other day there was a steamboat stop up the Obi. I don't think I'd ever seen that before. What have you seen anything on that? Somebody posted something at one of the spots up there.
Well, some of the steamboats, the smaller ones, did go up the river, okay. Up the Obi River, and they could get as far as Lilydale and the real high water. But most of the time it was flat boats that went up from here to bring down the supplies of.
I guess I saw that when I was reading some of Darren Shell's stuff he was talking about, the rafts coming down and also maybe a steamboat that stopped at some of the places up the river there.
Yeah, and Lilydale was where the two rivers came together, where the Wolf River and the Obi River come together, and the people to bring their logs there, put them in smaller rafts, raft them Salina down the Obi. Then when they get here, they put them with the big rafts and raft them on down to Nashville.
Okay, and the Wolf side of that river, does that actually start with creeks in Overton County?
It runs up on the up in Kentucky, Byrdstown. That's where the Wolf River. You'll cross the
right.
Wolf River from around Static.
Okay, up in start York Country. But you know, I know there, it seemed like I remember being on a branch of somebody that went over into Overton County and went under a bridge up or somewhere or another and had to get out and turn the boat around by hand to get out of it.
That's probably up the Obie, yeah.
But, and what about the flooding on the Obie last week? Did you notice that?
We didn't notice it a whole lot here, probably.
But I saw where they posted one of the boat documents floating down the Obie.
The Eastport's right in the middle of the Obie River. You know, it's all river up
right.
in there, and it rose up 10 foot and broke their docks loose.
That I guess kind of reminded folks how it used to be here a few years ago, didn't it?
True. That's why we ended up with the dam, because of the flooding of the Obie River.
Okay, let's get back to Old Town Salina. Some of the businesses that were down there, Johnny, I know you know most where most of those were at.
W.L. Brown had a big building there, which he eventually moved up here in Newtown. But he had we've got a picture of it. The Bank of Salina got a picture of it. We know where it's at. There's two or three grocery stores and other stores, a blacksmith shop, and several other businesses were located up and down those streets.
Okay, now, what about wharfs? Did they have wharfs built down there?
I've never seen a picture of it, but there was a road that's called the wharf. It went down to the wharf, and a lot of that washed away in the 27 flood.
Okay, and, you know, I've noticed, you know, when you see the pictures of, well, like the Salina and I can't think of the names of the houseboats, that they're actually look like they're docked just on a mud bank, doesn't it?
I think that's where they were here in Salina, just pulled up on the bank and had some landings where you could unload and load stuff.
Okay, and I'm wondering, what about the warehouses down there?
You know, the warehouses were, if you go past the Oshkosh and where the old strawberry plant is, going towards the river, that's where the warehouses sit. And they washed away, I think, during the 27 flood.
Okay, and what would have been warehoused in those wreckage?
Well, a lot of, like, places, Livingston, Cookeville, different places got their stuff from Butler's Landing and Salina Landing, and they put them in those warehouses till the people could come and take them back to where they were, to their place.
What, did we have anything like maybe a cash crop, maybe like the tobacco crops or something that would be shipped downriver that way? Or
The biggest crop, way I understand it, was chickens. We were a chicken capital. And I've seen steamboats here that just had chickens, crates, and they'd load for days loading the chickens to take them to market. And most of our boats went north to Burnside.
So they took them upriver.
Yeah, Salina got a lot of their stuff. Salina was a halfway point between Burnside and Nashville. And a lot of the boats didn't cover both areas. So we were right in the center. A lot of our stuff went to Burnside or came from Burnside.
So this was actually the spot where most of the bigger boats really had to stop, wasn't it?
Yes, Salina was the main stop.
And as you said, of course, that's something that hadn't changed any. We're still shipping our chickens up to Burnside, aren't we?
It all comes around.
You know, that's something, I guess, you know, folks thought that was just a new industry that came in here about, 20-something years ago. But it really wasn't, was it?
No, and Salina was, you know, the timber business was the main business for Salina, and rafting the logs to Nashville.
So I guess a lot of our farmers were subsistence farmers here that raised enough, and I'm sure they raised, you know, some meat animals, some pigs and things like that they would probably market. But, you know, I guess most of our farming was subsistence.
And every farm is next to the river had a landing, and you would flag the steamboat down. You had a way to flag it down, and it would pull into your landing and load whatever farm you had something you're selling, or cow or hog or something, you're shipping down, they would stop and you'd load it there.
Okay, let's take a little short break. We'll come back just in a second. I know.
Let's face it. We are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
You may not realize how important three letters can be. For a patient who needs type A, B, or O blood, these letters can mean life. But there simply aren't enough people giving blood. Without more donors, hospitals may not have the blood needed to save lives. That's why the American Red Cross needs people to help restore the A's, B's, and O's that are depleting each day. You are the missing type patients need. Visit redcrossblood.org/missing types or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make your donation appointment today.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized bill rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
The opioid epidemic is affecting countless lives, including young adults. Did you know approximately 45% of opioid prescriptions to adolescents are made by dentists, often after wisdom teeth removal? These drugs carry risks, but you can help reduce your risk or the risk for a loved one. If prescribed an opioid, ask your dentist to consider limiting prescriptions to 3 days, using over-the-counter pain relievers, and properly disposing of unused medications. For more information, go to shatterproof.org. This has been a message from Shatterproof, United Healthcare, and this station.
Welcome back, everyone. Well, Johnny, I know we were talking a little bit about folks when they'd order furniture and things. Of course, a lot of folks, they got their furniture made around here by a furniture maker, but like if they ordered some furniture from some of these places, I know a lot of our furniture here would maybe come out of Indianapolis. I think that was a big, at that time, I know you've run across a bunch of the tags on stuff that were made up there, and there, sometimes there'd be a second tag on there, wouldn't there?
There would. If it came down the river, they always wrote on the back what landing it was getting off at. And a lot of times, if you didn't know the riverboat landings, you wouldn't know this piece of furniture. Like, I have one that's from Martinsburg, which is the first landing as you're coming into Kentucky or Tennessee there at the line, and it had Martinsburg written on the back of it, so we know that's where it got off at. And we have one that's stamped from Butler's Landing.
So those things are still around, aren't they?
They are.
And I think I saw something the other day on there about the big economic and tourist trip that they took from Nashville up through here on the steamboat. Have you read that one where they, about all the stops that they made, and I think maybe even ran across the stop that you didn't know existed or something down that way?
They did. You see them in that. They say the trouble was coming up the river. They can't get under one of the bridges somewhere. That's why they can't get all the way to Salina.
So it couldn't get under one of them.
Right.
Well, of course, that bridge probably is long gone by now. You know, at one time, that was supposed to be one of the saviors of this area, wasn't it? We were going to get shipping back on the river again. I know we had a little oil storage tank down here at Butler's Landing, and I know they built some and even built quite a few things down there in Jackson County, didn't they, where they were going to ship out maybe petroleum and things like that from down
there. They did, and, you know, they had the landed and they're hoping to ship rock and stuff, but I don't think nothing ever came of it.
It never did work on out, did it? Okay, now, looking at, I've got a thing pulled up here, and I know that we both saw the thing one day. Someone posted on Facebook, what was the name of the first Salina High School newspaper? And it looked like you may have found the first one somewhere.
And they had different names. I think one, there's the Sunlight, and I've got, through my collecting, I have three or four more different ones that were school newspapers.
And I know someone, they were wondering where the name Spillway come from.
Right.
I said, duh. You know, that probably came along about late 1940s, about the time the dam opened up. And I think that stayed up until I was in high school, and maybe even when you were in high school, it still might have been the name of it.
It was. It was called the Spillway.
Yeah, and the yearbook was called the Boatman. And that shouldn't have left much doubt to where those names came from. But I'm looking down through this thing, you know, just looking through the front page of this, there is just a tremendous amount of history there, isn't there, Johnny?
There is, and I think it's four pages, and it tells all about different people and different students and from when you came from the little schools into the high school here.
And I know, just looking down through some of the names, you know, I see there we elected the football captain of the Golden Crusaders. There, you know, hey, that was the name of the football team back when Salina High School first came about. And I think Salina High School came about, sometime in the early 30s when we had the high school at Willow Grove and down at, at Hermitage Springs. And the folks here in Salina decided that, you know, we're really not Clay County High School anymore. And they had a little meeting and decided to start calling it Salina High School. So, you know, I think that's kind of how that came about, but it meant, you know, the Golden Crusaders. And, you know, I know for a long time, a lot of folks, you know, they were doing research to find the names of those things. And there that is for them. I see Mr. Clyde Dowell's name there, you know, things like that. And we were, somebody moved off, had to do this. Mr. Carl Napier he was elected, co-captain, and Bill Fitzgerald, and just names that we've heard over the years. And looking at the cheerleaders, I can remember the name of Gene Maxey, who was one of the cheerleaders, and this is 1937. Of course, a lot of these folks were still around when you and I were youngsters, and it's kind of, you know, great to look at those things. How many of these newspapers do you have, Johnny?
Oh, I've got just a handful, not a whole lot. Just, you know, when we're going through stuff or looking for something, we always look at the paperwork. You know, if you've got old newspapers or old papers, letters, please look at them and don't just throw them away, because a lot of this stuff will be in those. We collect a lot of Clay County history, Salina history, and anything that's got that on it, I keep.
You know, it's kind of interesting when we look at this. This is actually printed typeset, isn't it? It just printed as a newspaper.
And it was probably done in Old Town and Joe Peek.
Yeah, that's what I remember, Joe Peek's printing press down there. I think he had those where you pick the letters out and set them and put them in the blocks and print it off. I can remember seeing those. You have any idea what happened to those, Johnny?
Some of the print parts, most of it all burn up.
Okay.
I was down in his area where he lived when his place burned, and there's all kinds of paperwork where he'd done through the type, and the big typesets were there, and it, a month or so later, the fire got it all.
And I know, you know, he used to print all the election cards for the folks that passed out at election time, but I know when we were in high school and later on, the Spillways run off on mimeograph, wasn't it? And then somewhere along the line, I think toward the end of that, they went back and started having it printed maybe over at Livingston Printing or somewhere or another. So it changed along about there. But you know, I think it's kind of unusual that it was serious stuff, wasn't it?
It sure was.
And it looked like a newspaper. Okay, now what about some of the, you know, you're talking about it, some of the old documents. Probably some of the most interesting documents that you've run across during this time, Johnny.
Well, one thing that I keep it pretty well secured, I've got Cordell Hull's first law cases. They were handwritten on the back of a book, and they were when he was in first came back from law school, some of his first cases were here. And I do have those cases handwritten on the back of a deed book.
Okay, are they too fragile to copy or?
No, this one you can still read it and stuff.
Okay.
It's in good shape.
And so it's something that we sent in that Amber Lloyd could copy and.
I would.
You'd let her, if you were watching her.
Yeah, I'd keep an eye on her.
And of course, you know, a lot of folks don't realize, you know, the importance of the courthouse here in the city of Salina, Montvale Academy, you know, how much this played into the national politics over the years, with Cordell Hull being from here in Clay County.
True, and Montvale, and that's another thing we're looking for, exactly where Montvale sits. We know it's the Upton Hay Funeral Home was Montvale, but we'd like to know where it's set at in relation to where the roads and stuff are now.
You know, I can remember, Mr. Cordell Carter, he was a house mover over the years, and he used to talk about how they moved that building from down somewhere in the area that where the Oshkosh building is, and how they moved it with one mule and a windlass, cranking the windlass and pulling it up the hill on logs. And got it set up here. Well, what about, have you found any class rolls or anything from Montvale?
I have not. No class rolls. No.
So you don't have any idea of what happened to all those type records and things?
No.
They may be hidden in a wall down there somewhere.
And somebody could have them and not know what they have. But I did just get some class rolls from Mill Creek, Neely's Crossroads, Baptist Ridge, Pleasant Grove, and Tinsley's Bottom.
Painted,
yep. And these were from the 20s up through the 30s, and with the teacher contracts in them.
And what I think maybe some of his warrants, where they got warrants instead of paychecks.
They did, and he got paid. He had a contract like $42 a month, but he had to build the fire, bring the wood, and the dippers and everything for the students.
Johnny, I think we've got a few minutes left. I'm going to reach in here and dump all these things out, shut my eyes, and let one of them fall in my hand, and pull it out. And it looks like number two won the cake today, Miss Miller Strong. So I don't know how much she'll enjoy her first cake, but I'm sure she'll probably dig right into all that ice cream. And with that, I guess they're telling me we're about to run out of time. Johnny, you're going to have to come back again. I know you said you weren't very good on radio. I'll give you more time to prepare sometime, and we may sit down here and talk for a long time about some of these things.
It'd be good. I'd enjoy it.
I know folks have enjoyed listening to you, and it's been a pleasure having you here. And, you know, we all get nostalgic as we get just a wee bit older, and it's great to hear these things and know that these things are being preserved. And if you'll go to Facebook webpage for the Sesquicentennial, and if you grew up in Salina, you'll see a whole lot of these old newspaper articles, pictures and things, and people now are asking a lot of questions about their grandpas, their great-grandpas, and that type of thing, since we've got a little interest stirred up in folks, you know, trying to figure out who and where they came from. But, Johnny, I guess I'm going to have to say goodbye to everybody here today, and once again, it's been a pleasure being here with you on WVFB FM 101.5 Kicks Country, and congratulations to Miss Miller Strong for winning the cake. And we'll see you again next Thursday at 9:00. We'll be rebroadcast at 6:00 tonight, and it's streamed on the Del Hall Horizon website. And with that, may the good Lord bless and keep you till we meet you again, and hopefully we'll meet you here in the corner of the courthouse next Thursday. Until then, good day, Clay County.
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kicks Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them, or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.